Hello and welcome to the Jesus Tribe podcast. It's exciting to have you here. We're currently on a series titled Is Anyone Up There? Where we answer questions regarding the existence of God. Is there a God? Does he exist? If he does, how does this affect me as a human being? Join us on this amazing journey as we search and try to make a case for and against the existence of God. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Jesus Tribe podcast. I have here with me Daniel and Love. Daniel.
Hi Faith, hi everyone.
Hi Daniel.
Hi Love.
Hi Love.
Hi Faith, hi Daniel, hi everyone.
So good to have you both here. For those who are typical listeners of our podcast, Love is going to be, it's going to be the first time you're hearing Love's voice on the podcast. But if you follow us on Instagram, you would have seen her in our truth recap video where she spoke with Daniel, giving us a recap of everything we learned in our truth series. And she did an absolutely amazing job. So Daniel, we spoke about something last week. Could you please bring up to speed what we spoke about last week?
Sure. So far we've continued with our series, Is Anybody Up There?, where we're trying to talk about the idea of a God. Is there really a God? What arguments can we bring about or not? And our last podcast, we spent time discussing the idea about faith and science. That is, are there really, or are those two really opposing concepts, or can you hold on to both of them? So we addressed opinions that faith works contrary to science and vice versa, and we saw how that's not necessarily the case. So I mean, if you want to get more on that, I really advise you try to listen to that.
Comes in really highly recommended. So today we're going to be talking about something I find rather interesting, and anytime I hear of this particular concept, one thing comes to mind. You know the question that philosophy lecturers ask, where they're like, oh, which one came first, the chicken or the egg, you know? And until now, I don't have an answer to that question. I don't know if anyone has an answer.
Both of them.
Both of them, right? Yeah. So what we're going to be talking about today is the argument for a first cause. And Love, you helped write this article. What is the first cause argument all about?
All right. Thank you, Faith. So the first cause argument is basically a biblical argument that looks at the cosmos, the universe, from a perspective of cause and effect, right? And then the idea of the first cause argument is that everything that something that caused it, and then there is nothing that exists in this present world that came from nothing. And pretty logical, simple argument, but one thing they use that I think is very common to remember, like what this argument means, is I'm not sure how many people watch Sound of Music in their childhood, but there was this song where like part of the lyrics was like nothing ever rules or something like that. And then that's basically what the first cause argument says, right? That nothing would come from nothing, right? So if something is to out, it must have come from something. So it basically says that for everything that we see around us, for everything that exists, there must have been a first cause that brought it to life. So that's basically the center of the first cause argument.
Thank you, Love. Daniel, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I mean, I haven't watched Sound of Music, unfortunately. But yes, I think that sums it up pretty nicely. The idea that when you see anything, of course there should be, if you see a human being, that person is only there because someone or two people came together to ensure that this person could be in the world. If you see a tree, there was a seed that brought it forth. The general idea that nothing we see just exists of its own volition, but there's something external that is responsible for its existence. So yeah.
So I mean, it seems pretty easy to just like, okay, yeah, so I get the concept. If I'm seeing something existing now, something must have caused it to happen, something must have intended for it to be here, and that's why it's here. So I started to trace, okay, so I'm here because my parents made me, my parents are here because their parents made them, and, you know, we go all the way back. But it gets to a point where, you know, I can't trace any further, right? So where do I go from there?
Right. Okay, so I'll just ask us to take a step back like Aquinas did and then look at the universe, the cosmos as we know it, through the lens of a first cause, right? And so if we agree, so let's our starting point be that we believe that the universe started from nothing, right? And then we know that this is true because even science has proven this to be true. So if we say that this is true, then we can agree that even space and time and all that we see had a first cause, right? And it's only logical that if one thing is to cause, or let's use the words cause and create interchangeably in this context. So if we say that one thing is to cause or create another, then the thing or the cause must exist independent of the effect, right? So the one that causes must be outside, must be separate of the thing that is caused. So if the universe, if the cosmos, if space and time was created, then it must have been created by a spaceless and timeless being. So it's being that existed outside of space and time, but was able to act within space and time, was able to bring space and time into existence and to act within it, right? To take the cosmos from what it once was, from the state of nothingness, into the state that we now see it in, right? Which has been the product of a series of following, you know, causes starting from the very first, right? And then if we say that, you know, the cause of the universe must have been spaceless and timeless and transcendent, then we have to think, like, what is this who is this person, or what is this thing that fits, you know, this tall order that we think of that must have created the universe? So we're looking for one who fits that tall order of all the criteria that we have listed. And I don't know about you, but when we think through that criteria, the one being that I know that fits that very tall order is the being that we have now come to call God. So based on Thomas Aquinas' logic of the cause and effect, if the effect that we see is the universe, and the cause must be one that is separate from it, but is still able to act within it, then we can say that the first cause of the universe is God.
Wow. I think that's really well said, honestly. I definitely follow that logic, and it definitely makes a lot of sense. I think the emphasis for me that stands out usually is that there is usually a clear distinction, like Love was saying, in the fact in which what creates something or the cause exist independent of the effect. There's that clear distinction. And so, for instance, if someone creates a mobile game, right, you don't expect that person's identity or existence to be tied to that mobile game. I played Sims growing up, and you could do anything you want with those characters, right? If I decide to click a button, it could go to bed or not. That action is nowhere affects my person as the cause of that action. And I think if you then project that onto the universe, like Love was saying, when you see a universe that is space, that where there's space, there's time, there's matter, and there is a cause behind it all. Like Love said, that there is a definite point of origin to the universe. Whatever cause must be responsible for that universe, that cause has to exist outside space, outside time, and outside what we come to know as matter. And it's a really perfect description of the being we're trying to argue for or against, which we've come to call God. So I think that's a really brilliant presentation of that issue.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mel. Thank you, Daniel. I think I don't know if I was having a conversation or I was reading something or listening to something where someone was explaining this thing as if I was watching Hamlet or another Shakespeare play. I wouldn't expect to see Shakespeare in the movie because He exists outside of it, you know. So I think that was one analogy that made me understand perfectly what the uncaused cause was or would be, you know. But then following the logic of everything having to have a cause or something to have caused it to exist, it would only beg the question, like, also we're suggesting that there is a being that exists outside of those things. But if we're following the logic that says that every single thing has to have a cause, why wouldn't God have a cause, you know?
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Tribe podcast. We are an organization aimed at presenting the gospel of Christ in its simplicity to everyone everywhere. If this podcast has stirred up any questions, please feel free to mail us at tribejesus@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Jesus Tribe to stay up to date with our other activities and content. Till next time.